Welcome back to Meteorology Matters. Don't forget to follow meteorologist Rob Jones on Instagram, meteorologist, on TikTok, TV meteorologist, and on YouTube, follow Rob Jones Hurricane, where you can also find the Meteorology Matters podcast playlist. Today, we're diving into how a big change in New York City, that's congestion pricing, might actually affect the city's environment and weather patterns. It's a fascinating intersection of urban planning and meteorology. We've got some early data suggesting reduced traffic, and maybe even cleaner air. But as you can imagine, there's also a lot of debate swirling around this new program.
It's a really intriguing case study in how policy decisions can have a ripple effect, impacting not just traffic flow, but also the air we breathe, and even the city's long-term climate resilience.
Let's break this down for our listeners who might not be totally familiar with congestion pricing. Can you give us a quick rundown of what it is and what the city hopes to achieve with it?
Of course. In essence, congestion pricing means drivers have to pay a toll to enter Manhattan below 60th Street. The toll amount actually varies depending on the time of day, with the highest tolls during peak hours. The idea is to discourage driving during the busiest times. New York City's aiming for a few key things with this. First, they want to reduce the sheer volume of traffic, which, as anyone who's been to Manhattan knows, can be pretty intense. Second, they hope to improve air quality by cutting down on vehicle emissions. And finally, the tolls are meant to generate a dedicated source of funding for public transit improvements.
So, less traffic, cleaner air, and better subways and buses? That sounds like a pretty good deal, at least in theory. But what about in practice? Is it actually working?
Well, it's still early days, but the initial data from the first month is quite promising. The MTA reported a decrease of 1 million vehicles entering the congestion zone. Think about that for a second. 1 million fewer cars, and with fewer cars on the road, travel times have also improved by 10 to 30% in some areas.
Wow. A million fewer cars. That's huge. I bet those folks who are still driving are pretty happy about those shorter commute times. But what about the environmental impact? That's what we're really interested in here at Meteorology Matters. Have we seen any improvements in air quality?
It's still too early to draw any definitive conclusions, but there are some encouraging signs. With less traffic comes less exhaust and idling, which directly translates to lower levels of harmful pollutants like PM2.5, nitrogen dioxide, and carbon monoxide.
Okay. For our listeners who aren't air quality experts, can you break down why those pollutants are so bad and how they affect us?
Sure. PM2.5, or particulate matter, is basically microscopic particles that can get lodged deep in our lungs and cause all sorts of respiratory problems. Nitrogen dioxide is another big one that contributes to smog and can irritate our airways. Carbon monoxide is a colorless, odorless gas that could be deadly in high concentrations. These pollutants not only impact our health, but also contribute to haze and reduced visibility, affecting how we experience the city.
So, cleaner air means easier breathing, fewer respiratory problems, and maybe even clearer skies over Manhattan. That's a win for public health and for anyone who wants to enjoy a nice view of the skyline.
Exactly. And if congestion pricing continues to reduce traffic volume, we could see a significant improvement in air quality over time. There's even a precedent for this. London implemented congestion pricing back in 2003. And they saw a 17% decrease in PM2.5 levels. It's possible we could see similar results here in New York.
That's really encouraging. Now, you mentioned that congestion pricing is meant to help New York City meet its climate goals. Can you explain that connection a bit further?
Absolutely. Transportation is a major source of every house gas emissions, which contribute to climate change. By reducing the number of cars on the road, congestion pricing helps lower those emissions and supports New York's goals under the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act. This act, by the way, is a landmark piece of legislation that commits New York to a significant reduction in greenhouse gas emissions over the coming decades.
So, congestion pricing is not just about traffic. It's about tackling climate change and creating a more sustainable future for New York City. But I have to ask, with such a major change, haven't there been some pushback? I can't imagine everyone's thrilled about having to pay a toll to drive into Manhattan.
You're absolutely right. There's been a lot of debate about the fairness of congestion pricing. Some argue that it unfairly burdens drivers, especially those who live outside the city and rely on their cars to get to work or for essential trips. Others worry about the potential for traffic displacement, where drivers who avoid the tolls simply clog up other boroughs and neighborhoods, potentially worsening traffic and pollution in those areas.
Right, so it's not as simple as just pushing traffic out of one area. We have to consider the ripple effects on the entire region. Have there been any efforts to address those concerns about fairness and traffic displacement?
Yes, there have been. The city has committed to using a portion of the revenue generated from congestion pricing to improve public transit options in the outer boroughs, which could help alleviate some of the burden on those who rely on their cars. They're also looking at ways to mitigate traffic displacement, such as adjusting traffic light timing and implementing other traffic management strategies. But it's a complex issue, and it will require ongoing monitoring and adjustments to ensure that the benefits of congestion pricing are shared equitably across all communities.
It sounds like there's a lot at stake here, but this story took an even more dramatic turn yesterday with a major announcement from former President Trump. Can you fill us in on what happened?
Yes, it was quite a bombshell. President Trump, who has been a vocal critic of congestion pricing from the start, announced his intention to revoke federal approval for the program.
Now, this is where things get really interesting for our listeners. It's not just a local traffic issue anymore. It's become a national political battle. What are Trump's arguments against the program, and how has New York responded?
President Trump's primary argument is that congestion pricing unfairly burdens drivers, and that the funds should be used specifically for road improvements, not public transit. He claimed that federal legislation intended for those funds to go towards highways, not subways or buses. However, Governor Hochul has fired back, vowing to fight Trump's decision tooth and nail. She argues that the program is legally sound and essential for reducing traffic, improving air quality, and investing in much-needed public transit upgrades.
So we've got a showdown brewing here, with the future of congestion pricing hanging in the balance. This could end up in a lengthy legal battle, which could delay the program and potentially derail those transit improvements. What are the potential consequences if congestion pricing is halted or significantly delayed?
Well, the most immediate impact would be the loss of that $15 billion in projected revenue for the MTA. That's a massive blow to their plans for upgrades and expansions. We could see delays in critical projects like new subway cars, signal upgrades, and accessibility improvements. And beyond the financial hit, there's also the environmental cost. If congestion pricing is scrapped, we're likely to see traffic levels rebound, leading to increased air pollution and greenhouse gas emissions.
So this isn't just about dollars and cents. It's about the health of New Yorkers and the city's efforts to combat climate change. It sounds like the stakes are incredibly high. But let's step back for a moment and consider the broader implications of congestion pricing. Whether or not it survives this legal challenge, it's really sparked a conversation about the future of transportation in our cities. Do you think congestion pricing is a sign of things to come, or is it just a New York City experiment?
I think it's definitely a sign of the time. Cities around the world are grappling with the challenges of traffic congestion, air pollution, and climate change. And they're realizing that the old model of car-centric urban planning simply isn't sustainable congestion pricing. Along with investments in public transit bike lanes and pedestrian-friendly infrastructure, represents a shift towards a more holistic approach to urban mobility.
It's about creating cities that prioritize people over cars, where getting around is easy, efficient, and enjoyable, regardless of whether you're driving, walking, biking, or taking public transit. But getting people out of their cars can be a tough sell, especially in a car-dependent culture like the United States. What are some of the strategies cities can use to encourage people to embrace more sustainable modes of transportation?
It's not just about making public transit more convenient or building more bike lanes. It's about creating a cultural shift where sustainable transportation is seen as the desirable choice. Cities like Amsterdam and Copenhagen have done a phenomenal job of this by creating a seamless and enjoyable experience for cyclists and pedestrians. They've invested in safe, separated bike lanes, pedestrian-only zones, and public spaces that prioritize people over cars. And it's not just about infrastructure. It's about creating a culture where biking and walking are simply part of everyday life.
I love that idea, making sustainable transportation so appealing and integrated into the urban fabric that it becomes the obvious choice. But let's bring it back to our main topic here at Meteorology Matters. We've talked about the potential for cleaner air, but how might these shifts in transportation patterns actually impact the city's weather?
That's a really fascinating area of study. One of the most noticeable impact could be a reduction in the urban heat island effect. Cities tend to be significantly warmer than surrounding rural areas due to the abundance of concrete and asphalt, which absorb and radiate heat. With fewer cars on the road, we could see a slight decrease in temperatures in highly congested areas, especially during heat waves.
So congestion pricing could actually help cool down the city. That's incredible. And what about other weather-related impacts? Could reduced traffic affect things like rainfall patterns or wind circulation?
It's certainly possible. With fewer cars kicking up dust and particulate matter, we could see changes in cloud formation and precipitation patterns. However, these are complex systems, and it's difficult to isolate the impact of any single factor, like traffic volume. More research is needed to understand the subtle ways in which transportation patterns influence local weather phenomena.
That makes sense. It's all interconnected, and even small changes can have ripple effects throughout the system. Now, before we wrap up this segment, I want to touch on something we haven't really discussed yet, the psychological impact of all this. How might congestion pricing affect people's perception of the city and their relationship with it?
That's a great question, and I think it's an area where we might see some really interesting changes. As the city becomes less congested, we might see a decrease in stress levels and an increase in overall well-being. Imagine a city where people are no longer battling traffic every day. It could fundamentally change the way they experience urban life.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if less traffic could actually lead to a happier, healthier city.
I think it's definitely possible. And with more people using public transportation, walking and biking, there's more opportunity for social interaction, community building, and a sense of shared ownership over the city's public spaces.
It's like reclaiming the city for people, making it a place where human connection is valued.
Exactly. Imagine a city where streets are no longer dominated by cars, but are instead vibrant public spaces where people can gather, socialize, and enjoy the urban environment.
It's a beautiful vision, and one that aligns perfectly with the goals of congestion pricing, creating a more sustainable, equitable, and livable city.
It's about fostering a sense of belonging and civic pride, and encouraging people to see themselves as active participants in shaping the future of their city.
Well said. So as we wrap up our look at congestion pricing in New York City, what's the key takeaway you want our listeners to ponder?
I think the big thing is we're at a turning point. You know, how our cities evolve. The choices we make today, they'll have a huge impact down the road. Congestion pricing. It's just one example of a bold idea, trying to create a more sustainable, fair, and enjoyable urban future. And it reminds us we all have a role to play in making that happen.
Absolutely. Whether it's supporting better public transportation, maybe choosing to walk or bike more often, or even just staying engaged in these important conversations, our actions matter.
Every step we take towards a greener future, no matter how small, it all adds up.
Well said. It's time to reimagine our cities, and I'm excited to see what the future holds.
Me too, yeah. It's a really exciting time to be thinking about cities, and I have a feeling we're just at the beginning of a major shift in how we design and experience urban life.
And that's a wrap on another episode of Meteorology Matters. Don't forget to follow meteorologist Rob Jones on Instagram, meteorologist on TikTok, TV meteorologist, and on YouTube, follow Rob Jones Hurricane, where you can also find the Meteorology Matters podcast playlist. We'll be back next week with another fascinating look at how weather, climate, and the world around us are all intertwined. Until then, stay curious, stay informed, and stay engaged.
And remember, the future of our cities is in our hands. Let's make it a bright one.